Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Friday evening, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out here as we are just a few minutes away from getting into Braves baseball. Game number 5 taking place. Braves with the opportunity to wrap things up tonight and head to the World Series. Keep you up to date these last couple hours of what goes on there. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. We have the Radio.com app. We ask you to download the Radio.com app because, well, we know you're not in your car and spending as much time there as what you used to, but you want to listen to the station in this particular show. What's the easiest way to do it? Simple. Radio.com app. Download that today. Put that on your device. I know you've got your smartphone, you've got your Alexa speakers, you've got your tablet, you've got your boombox, you've got your Laserdisc player, your Light Bright, your Palm Pilot, your Sega Genesis. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms. As always, the best way to be a part of our particular show would be through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316. At JMCH316. That's your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. No Jarvis tonight. He is off, so young Dylan is filling in admirably, and he'll be asking the Rankin questions. We're even going to let him be a part of our top 10 list coming up in That's Life tonight. So he's filling in this evening. We appreciate him being here as well. This is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So as we said, a lot of questions going into this week about would Julio and or Dalvin Cook play in this game. Julio obviously missing last week, taken out of the game. Dalvin Cook did not play the second half of that game against the Seattle Seahawks. So questions abound about those two guys. We got word, it looks like Julio is off the injury list and he will play this coming week. But we now know Dalvin Cook will not be with the Vikings offense, which is definitely a big blow for them. And certainly a guy who's had plenty of success against this team. Certainly remember opening game last year. What a debacle that was. Remember how bad that was in Minnesota? The first four plays, just dreadful, and then the botched punt, and yuck. So no Dalvin Cook. That is a big deal. You know, that's that definitely changes some of the dynamic of their offense. As we said, Madison, their backup, he did have a big game, but let's see if he can pull it off 2 weeks in a row. Although I say that, he is playing one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Now, as the Falcons look toward hiring their next general manager and coach, the Falcons have committed to being much more inclusive when it comes to applying the Rooney Rule. Now, of course, the Rooney Rule was changed up a little bit, you know, to where they have to interview at least two minority candidates for the head coaching position. Also, for any coordinator positions, they have to interview one as well. Arthur Blank is on the Workplace Diversity Committee, which passed the original Rooney Rule. Rich McKay is the chairman of the Competition committee, which is the most powerful committee out there. So they vow that they're going to be more inclusive when it comes to looking at potential hires. Quote, there are rules, this according to Rich McKay, quote, there are rules, we welcome those rules, we intend to exceed those rules. So McKay also went on to say that Arthur is an original member of the diversity committee that was formed way back in Paul Tagliabue's day in 2002 and created the Rooney Rule. We know what those rules are. We respect them. Now, as far as, though, they're hiring, and this is from an article in D-Led, D-Led says that when Jim Mora was hired, he beat out Lovie Smith. Because the Falcons have complied as needed. They have a history of the compliance, but they've never hired a minority candidate for either head coach or for general manager. And he goes through the list. Jim Mora was hired over Lovie Smith. Bobby Petrino was hired over Jim Caldwell. Mike Smith was hired over Leslie Frazier. And when Dan Quinn was hired, they say Todd Bowles and Keith Armstrong were both interviewed for all of that. And they say, too, that Dimitroff, when he was hired in 08, was selected over Reggie McKenzie. And both, by the way, have won, McKenzie and Dimitroff, both won Executive of the Year awards in the NFL. So this statement from Fritz Pollard, the Alliance Executive Director, or sorry, from Fritz Pollard Alliance Executive Director Rod Graves, said earlier this year, quote, the abysmal record of hiring people of color at high-ranking levels of NFL management is a reminder of the dark periods of civil rights history. In 100 years of professional football, the NFL has moved from Fritz Pollard as its first African-American head coach in 21 to four head coaches of color in 2020. The league has only one African-American general manager. There are no African-American club presidents. So McKay goes on to say, we hope that there is some intention. We hope that there is some intention by teams in the interview process. There will certainly be on our part. This will not be an issue for us. So we'll see where it goes, and we'll see what it leads to. You know, as far as, you know, do they actually find the right? Listen, here's my thing about all this. Okay, and I'll make this very clear and very simple. I don't care what creed, color, religion, sex, gender, whatever. I just want to win football games. I want a Super Bowl, okay? I want to live in a city and root for a team where that team wins the Super Bowl, okay? That's my motivation. If that's a male, female, if that's, you know, a certain religion, a certain color, a certain creed, you know, I don't care if you're French. I don't care if you're Liberian, you're from Australia. I don't care. At this, just get the hire right. Put the right person in the right positions, and let's get back to winning football games and go get a championship. That's all. I don't care. I really don't. It makes no difference to me. I understand all the Rooney Rule and stuff like that, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, what I just care about is get the right hire. Do you hire the right person? I don't care. You want to hire, you know, you want to interview minorities, you want to interview women? I don't care. Just I want to win football games. Can we get to that point? I want to win a championship. I want to win football games again. It sucks being 0-5. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous having to sit here and be 0-5. All right, let's hear from Dante Fowler, who spoke to the media today. Here's Fowler talking about how Raheem Morris has been getting in their grills.
You know, just being a coach, coaching us up, you know, kind of getting in our grills a little bit, you know, just bringing the intensity to practice, you know, just firing us up, you know, getting us mad at him, you know, so because we don't have an opponent during the week, so, you know, he make us take it out on him, so on Sunday we'll be ready, you know, to take it out on them guys, and we'll be mentally and physically ready.
Was Dante Fowler blowing off his deck when he was making that Zoom call? Were they asking some of the coaches to blow some leaves off the practice field or what? Who's got the blower running in the back there? Good Lord. Braves started to already, too. By the way, one out in the game. So far, so good for A.J. Minter. Good Lord. Tori McElhaney, who we talked to earlier, and we'll hear her coming up at 9:40. She brought this up about the fact that these guys are saying that it's a little bit more. And that's kind of Raheem Morris's, you know, M.O., right? All right, here's Dante Fowler talking about how Raheem Morris has been making them uncomfortable, but in a good way.
Raheem just doing it his way a little bit, you know, just adding his little spice to it and things like that. But it hasn't really been different. If anything, you know, just the intensity is wrapped up a little bit more. You know, Raheem is, you know, just kind of making us a little bit uncomfortable and, you know, making us be able to practice really well and practice and things like that. So Sunday, we won't be new to anything.
Well, listen, if that's true, it's a change from the last regime. And I've said this before, that's also one of my problems that I had with Dan is I hear about accountability, but all I get is campaign slogans and bumper stickers for it. I get campaign slogans, platitudes, political ads, bumper stickers, you know, but I don't get anything results-wise for it. I hear about it, but, you know, well, the Bears loose and, you know, we're grinding and all that. Okay, well, then why does 26 keep getting trotted out there, you know? And that's not just him. I mean, just it's been that way. And I'll go back to what I said, and I'll stand by it. I don't have any inside information, but which one of those two guys, you know, Frank DeBoer or Dan Quinn, which one of those two guys you think was holding their players more accountable? Think the Atlanta United players were thrilled with Frank DeBoer when they were speaking out? You think it was just because of the system that they were playing? Or you think that maybe he was kind of, you know, put some pressure on him versus what we hear at Flowery Branch? All right, here's Dante Fowler on talking about getting more opportunities on first and second downs.
Yeah, we just have to, you know, work together as a defense to kind of get, you know, those opportunities to be able to rush on third downs, you know, third and six and longer and things like that. You know, and when we have the opportunities, you know, to get to the quarterback, we'll be able to do that.
All right, well, listen, he's got to start getting to the quarterback, okay? I mean, if he's banged up and he's not healthy, then sit. Otherwise, if you're going out there on the field, I don't need you just legging it out and getting through it to get through it. I need you to be productive, Dante. And this is a guy that they can sack this quarterback or at least put pressure on this quarterback to make mistakes because we're talking about the guy who is second in the NFL behind that great quarterback that everybody loves so much, Carson Wentz, or as I call him, the most overrated player in the entire NFL. Talk about somebody who's won nothing in the NFL. And don't tell me the Super Bowl because he won there for it. But miss me with that. Nobody's done less than Carson Wentz in the NFL, and yet everybody acts like he's a top five quarterback. So you got a guy that turns the ball over, and you have an opportunity to force him into some plays. Get pressure on him. Okay, you don't get the sack, hit him. You can't hit him, force him quick. You have to get rid of the football quickly and make a snap decision, okay? It's very simple. Get after Kirk Cousins this week. All right, here's Dante Fowler talking about how he's encouraged about his health and getting better.
You know, health, really, the biggest thing is just my health and me being able to go out there and be the player that I can be when I can. And, you know, of course, you know, not being able to have OTAs and things like that was definitely pretty big for me. Being on a new team and learning the new defense. So now that I know things now, I can just go out there and play fast. And they're simplifying a lot of things really well for me. So I can just go, just, you know, pin my ears and just go.
Okay, that's fine. Go get the damn quarterback, Dante. You know, OTAs didn't slow the checks down. Go get the quarterback, man. And if you're not, see, this again, this is where it frustrates me. Okay, I understand OTAs. I understand if you're not healthy. Then sit and rest. Then take the week off. Take 2 weeks off. But I don't need Dante Fowler trying to play through and gut it out just to gut it out, and he's not productive. That doesn't do this franchise any good. It's not what he was brought here for. So good. I'm glad his health is up to speed and he's ready to go and this, that, and the other. Okay. That's good. But you got to start getting some results for all of it, okay? So we'll see. But, I mean, listen, get after the quarterback and let's get a victory on Sunday, despite what, you know, a lot of people may want or not want out of all of it. All right. When we get back, it's going to be time for That's Life. Top 10 favorite Atlanta Falcons wide receivers of all time, not named Julio, not named Roddy White. We'll talk about that next. John Chuckwa Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the Radio.com app.
Hello. Hello. Back now to more of the John Chuckwa Show.
Okay.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckwa Show. 9:22 on this Friday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of this show. Don't forget radio.com app so you catch us on the go. Social media 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. So far, so good for the Atlanta Braves. A.J. Minter gets out of the first inning. Turner hits a double, but they leave him stranded. Man at second with two outs, and he is left stranded there. So Braves up now in the bottom of the first. Acuna bounced out to shortstop. So now Freddie comes up with one out and nobody on. We'll keep you up to date on all the things going on there. All right, a couple things we're going to get to here. Our top 10 tonight is going to be top 10 favorite Atlanta Falcons wide receivers, not named Julio or Roddy White. So we'll get to that here in just a minute. It's kind of funny. I told you I sold off several things in the I sold off about four different groups of stocks that I had, about four different companies that I had that I sold off, and daddy needed some cash, you know, try to pay bills and everything for it. So, and I sold off some of my high performing stuff, you know. So most ever, I mean, one thing was like about 80% return, the other I think it was three, you know, one was like 109%, one was like 108%. So, you know, the stuff I've kept is, you know, some of my, one is low-performing things, as Freeman doubles down the first base line, by the way. But then, you know, Carnival, Boeing, Delta, and it's just funny. Boy, if my portfolio was dictated before by Boeing, Carnival, and Delta, it really is that way now. I can already see that if I have a good day there, I got a shot to make a couple bucks. If I don't, I'm going to get crushed out of all of it. So we'll see. We'll see how smart I was in some of these investments long term. And I've got some of these things that are not performing very well that have been losers, you know, that I'm going to hang on and see if I can get back on track. But it's like a couple of these, I'm like, do I just need to get my money and get out? But remember, scared money don't make money. Okay. Rule number one, be in it for the long term. Rule number two, scared money don't make money. So Freeman's at second, by the way, with one out with Ozuna now up in this game. All right, this was a funny story that I came across. You guys know I'm a huge James Bond fan, right? That's my favorite movie franchise of all time. There is a super fan in London, England, that spent 10 years of his life collecting prop guns from 007 movies. And a bunch of his, and I guess a bunch or all of his 007 prop guns. So these are basically the guns that were actually used in the James Bond movies. Okay. Oh, boy. Freddy going to go to third? He sure did. Wow. Now Freddy's at third. Okay. Just fly ball, Ozuna. This is what we talked about. Pass ball. Let's get a run in. Perfect opportunity. 2-0 count. You don't even need a single. Just get a fly ball. That's going to be a pass ball. He just whiffed on it. Not a wild pitch. It didn't bounce. He just, catcher didn't catch it. So, you know, like things like, for instance, what this guy has had in his collection is a Beretta auto pistol from Die Another Day. The 44 Magnum handgun from Live and Let Die, right? He's got all these unique items to it, and then they were stolen. So in a video that he's posted online, and in opposition of what the police have asked him to do, this guy who is going by the pseudonym Mark Hazard, which I did not know this, but I guess Mark Hazard is 007's alias. Okay, I did not know that. He put out a video where he's offering to meet the people responsible for the theft and is willing to give them a £5,000 cash reward. Now, in U.S. dollars, that's $6,454 to return the prized guns. It says, in a short video published by the Daily Mail, Hazard urged the culprits to come forward and collect the money before they receive, quote-unquote, a knock on the door and a very different, less profitable reward. He says in the video, 10 years of my life went down the crapper when they were stolen. 10 years of research to find them and write about them. 10 years of my life to get the funds together to secure them. And barely a year of my life to physically own them or at least be their temporary keeper. Hopefully I would meet with one of the representatives. There's not going to be any entrapment. They're not going to meet me in a field and then police will turn up. They're not stupid, but I've got to treat them in this way. Otherwise, I will not get them back. I think they were stolen to be used in crime. I don't think they knew that they were deactivated in film guns. Film guns are modified so you can never fire live ammunition from them again. It's such a loss. They are film history. My guess is he's right, but there's not a chance in the world those guys still have those guns. I guarantee you they threw them in the trash and said, what the hell is wrong with these guns out of all of it? Which that sucks because he's right. That's movie history. That's some really cool movie history that a bunch of knuckleheads thought, oh, we got a stash of guns, and now we're going to be big, tough guys and everything, and it turns out they don't even fire. Lordy, that sucks. But he's offered them £5,000, $6,400. I don't know. I still wouldn't trust meeting a guy like that because the police are going to still follow the guy probably even when he doesn't know about all of it. All right, so very quickly here. Young Dylan is joining us tonight, so I've asked him he can participate in the top 10 list. Top 10 favorite Atlanta Falcons wide receivers with Julio back, but nobody named Julio Jones or Roddy White. Dylan, if you would please, your list of your 10.
All right, quickly, my top 10 is going to be at number 10, Brian Finneran. Shout out to Brian Finneran. Stacey Bailey, Burt Emanuel, Michael Jenkins, Michael Haynes, Andre Rison coming in at number 5. Number 4, got to put the main man, Harry Douglas. Alfred Jenkins at number 3. Mohamed Sanu. Now, I know Mohamed Sanu didn't spend a long time in Atlanta, but I just love the toughness and kind of energy and type of culture he brought to Atlanta, so that's why I have him so high up. And number 1, not named Roddy or Julio, Terrence Mathis.
Nice. Nice. Good list there. So, by the way, Travis d'Arnaud hits a deep fly ball to the warning track. Doesn't get out, but opposite field shot to Betts, and it drives in a run. 1-0. Braves up already. How many do you think we had similar? How many do you think we had?
I'm going to say we have 5 similar.
6.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes, 6. So here's what I've got. I've got our ones that overlap. I've got Terrence Mathis as well. I've got Alfred Jenkins going old school. Andre and Michael Haynes, man. Those guys were fantastic, man. Oh, in that red gun, offense that June ran with Chris Miller and Andre and Mike Haynes and Ironhead Hayward in the backfield. Mike Rozier was back there. That was that red gun offense that run and shoot that June and Mouse Davis brought here, man. Those two guys were really productive. I've got B. Finn on my list as well. I've got Harry on my list as well. Here's my other ones. I've got Calvin Ridley on my list as
Ooh,
well. I think
okay.
Ridley's about to be, you know, he's about to be their number one wide receiver in the next year or so here, because I said the other night, Dylan, hot takey, Julio Jones will play this year for the Falcons, and at most he'll play next year. But after next year, he will not be an Atlanta Falcon. If he plays next year for the Falcons, and he could get traded, but if he plays next year, it'll be his last year as an Atlanta Falcon.
Oh, Mr. John Tucker coming with the spicy takes. I like it.
Gotta go hot takey. Gotta go hot takey, man. And then also Tony Martin, who was with Terrence when they went to the Super Bowl in 98. Both of those guys were 1,000-yard wide receivers that year. I don't think a lot of people realize that those two guys were both 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, you think about how good that offense was in 98. I think it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. You know, Jamal was unbelievable. He led the league in rushing and had the most rushing attempts and all that. You know, he had that monster year. I think everybody thinks that they were just this kind of ground and pound, and, you know, it was all about, you know, him running the football. But if you look, you know, their skill guys, Chandler had a really big year that year, and Martin and Mathis were both 1,000-yard wide receivers on that team. And I want to say, and I may be wrong about this, because O.J. Santiago was the tight end on that team. Bob Christensen was the fullback on that team. Was Sean Jefferson the other wide receiver on that team? I'm trying to remember now if Sean Jefferson was the third wide receiver on that team. I may be wrong about that. I may be speaking out of turn, but I was thinking he was the third. I remember O.J. Santiago caught the big pass in that NFC Championship game. He had a huge reception in that NFC Championship game out of Kent State, by the way. He was a Kent State kid out of all of it. But Martin and Mathis were a really good combination. You know, this team has had some pretty good combinations when you talk about Dre and Haynes, Mathis and Martin, and now obviously Julio and Calvin. And my last two that are on my list, I had to put Billy White Shoes Johnson on there.
One of the
most dynamic playmakers of all time. He's in the Hall of Fame, obviously. You know, obviously he was a special teams guy, a punt and kick returner, but also, you know, was a wide receiver. And you know, I loved him here in Atlanta, loved him in Houston for the Love You Blue Houston Oilers. And then finally, like, what list of Falcon wide receivers, Dylan, would be complete without the guy who had the best hands on this team for several years? And that, of course, 14. I mean, he had the best hands, right?
14.
Yeah, 14. Wasn't Julio, one Calvin, one Sanu.
You're not talking about Eric Weems, are you?
Nope. 14, baby. Who's 14? He was a punt and kick returner for us, too, out of East Carolina. Best hands on the team, man.
You could
count on him for about 20 receptions a year. they just let him go. He was with the team. He's with the team last year, right? And he was a free agent, and they didn't obviously re-sign him.
What's his name? He did some return stuff too. Was his first name like Andre or something?
Nope. Starts with a J.
Yeah,
and his last name is an H. Starts with an H. We don't use his name on here. He's just 14. See, some guys have to earn their name. Okay, 44 had to earn his name. Okay,
26 still has to earn his name.
26 has got to earn his name. You got to earn your name. Sorry, man. Listen, I don't make the rules, okay? I just stick with them. So 44 had to earn his name. 14 lost his name. 26 has lost his name as well out there. You can look it up. 14.
Yeah.
Played in East Carolina. He was a gimmick wide receiver in college and would get you about 20 catches a year for this team. Just a couple of years ago, he was with the team just even last year and all that. So they decided not to re-sign him. Shocking that they didn't re-sign him because he was so productive with his, you know, 21 catches. So, And nobody could fair catch a punt the way that he could for all of it. So there you go. There's our list. If you got some, hit us up on the text line at 404-741-0929. Hit me up on my Twitter page at JMCH316. Watching Braves baseball. Braves up 1-0. Top of the second inning, Dodgers at bat with one out. Bellinger is up right now. I forgot. I didn't see who was warming up in the bullpen already. Braves already got somebody up because I don't expect Minter to go past two or three innings at most for all of this. All right, when we come back, earlier in the show, we had a chance to speak with our Falcons reporter for The Athletic, Torrey McElhaney, joined us, and she does our weekly conversation with us here as we get ready for Falcons and Vikings coming up on Sunday. We'll hear what she had to say next. It is the John Chuckwa Show, hanging out with you here on this hopefully winning Friday night, Sports Radio Nights on the Game, and on the radio.com app.
What's happening in Atlanta?
Check it out.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And catch our take on the headlines every weekday at about 2:20. Get a fresh perspective on what's going on in the world right here on Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckwa Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Coming up Sunday, we've got Falcons and the Vikings. Of course, we are your home for all things Atlanta Falcons right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll have all your coverage on the station, and as we do each Friday, as we get ready for Falcons football in a new look, at least from a coaching standpoint, Atlanta Falcons. Head out to the WadeFort.com hotline. She covers all things for the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Tori McElhaney is joining us. Of course, as always, follow Tori at Tori underscore McElhaney. Tori, hope you're doing well on this Friday as we get ready for the at least interim Raheem Morris regime for at least the next 11 games.
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been quite the week, though.
Yeah, no question about it. A lot going on. Let's start with the injuries. Obviously we know Marlon Davidson is in the COVID protocol, so he's not available. I thought I saw Julio is not listed on the injury update. So kind of give us an idea and rundown about who we think is in, who we think is out.
Well, I think for the first time in probably a few weeks, I have a lot more hope that you'll see the Falcons look a little closer to full strength than you've seen them look probably in a while. I do think that Julio Jones will play on Sunday, which is really good news for the Falcons. I know that they had a lot of guys limited in practice today, but I will say this, because they didn't practice yesterday, I think you're kind of looking at guys who probably would have been limited yesterday and would have been full strength today, or limited today and they'll be full strength tomorrow. So it's really, I think, a situation that the Falcons are looking a lot better injury-wise. I know Tack McKinley, Jalen Hawkins, they have been ruled out for Sunday's game. But other than that, everybody's looking to be working back and should be ready to go on Sunday.
Tori, I know Raheem Morris was asked this question during the week, but I'm wondering if we're getting any more kind of clarification, and that was about who's going to call the defense. I mean, obviously, he and Jeff Albrick, they had this, and I'll say it, convoluted system about, you know, calling this on this down and that down and all that, and, you know, all I know is that they're, you know, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Are we getting any more clarity on it? Do we still think that that kind of breakdown is going to happen, or do we think that Albrick is going to have more control of just calling all the defensive plays?
I think it is going to look pretty similar to how it's looked in the past, you know, half year. We did talk to Jeff Albrick earlier today, and he did say that they were going to be splitting the play calling. And then we talked to Raheem earlier in the week, and he said that it'll look pretty similar to the end of last year and then, of course, the beginning of this year. So I don't think we're getting too far away from what they have been doing in terms of defensive play calling. But, you know, that could always change. They could get two games in and Raheem be like, you know what, I'm going to give this to you, or let's try and work this out in a different way. But for the time being, I think for this Sunday, it is going to look pretty similar to how it's looked.
Tori, we talked about this the other night on the show about the fact that it happened Monday, and it was kind of like under the radar that Ben Kutwika was let go as the special teams coach. Do we know, was that part of Arthur's kind of decision in making changes, or is that something Raheem Morris had asked for?
The way that I understand it, and this is just going off of what Arthur Blank said on Monday and then what Raheem said on Tuesday, I do think that it was Raheem Morris's choice. When we were talking to Arthur Blank and Rich McKay on Monday afternoon, they made the comment, they're like, the coaching staff, they are having a meeting right now to decide, you know, what they're going to do in terms of, you know, rearranging responsibilities, and we have given that decision to Raheem to make. So I do think that was on his shoulders.
Torrey McElhaney joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, Falcons reporter for The Athletic for our Friday conversation with her as we get ready for Falcons and Vikings coming up this Sunday. All of your action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We also got news today that the Vikings will be out with, will be without, if I could talk, and I am on radio, but if the the Vikings will be without Dalvin Cook this Sunday, who obviously last year we remember torched this team and has had success, you know, against him. How much do you think that that plays into the Falcons trying to get more aggressive? How much do we think that, you know, maybe they have to rely a little bit more on the pass this Sunday, maybe try to get after Cousins? I mean, how much is the dynamic changed with him out?
I think it does change a little bit. It's really interesting because with everything that's happened this week with the Falcons, I've had very little time to even consider what's been going on with the Vikings. But yeah, getting that news today that he's been officially ruled out, I think it does. I think I don't think it changes it like completely. I do think though that what you're saying where they're like maybe being a bit more aggressive in how they go about, you know, not having to essentially like have to have people on him. I mean, that's the thing is like you have to think about what the resources that they would allocate to him and what he can do. And like what you said, what he did last year. And so I do think that it kind of like frees up the Falcons maybe just a little bit.
Torrey, you know, I keep hearing the word accountability. I hear that from, with all due respect, I hear it from analysts and I hear it from this and I hear it from that. And there's got to be accountability. And we know obviously coaches have been let go. General manager has been let go. So there is some start to accountability out there. My question is that, I mean, what are we hearing from Raheem Morris as far as player accountability? Because, I mean, with all due respect, I look at the depth chart and I understand it kind of is what it is, but I see some familiar names and faces of guys who, frankly, have not done anything to get the job done this year, and I see them still starting, you know, and I'll say it. You don't have to say it, but I'll say it. You know, 26, and we call him by his number because he's got to earn that name back, but 26, for instance, still listed on the depth chart, even though it's been a real struggle for him, even though he struggled mightily for it all. What is Raheem Morris talking about as far as player accountability and what may change there?
So specifically talking about that specific player, no one has specifically called him out. Every time that you ask a coach about him specifically, they just say that he's so close. He's like one play away from getting an interception here or there or wherever. And so, like, that's all well and good, and I get it that they have their players' backs, and that's great. But there is something to be said about wanting more from your players. And I did think it was very interesting when we were talking to Dante Fowler today, and he was asked the question. He was like, what's the difference between Dan Quinn and Raheem Morris? And he was like, well, Raheem is kind of making us a little bit uncomfortable because he's getting after us. And one of the very first things that Raheem Morris did was he had these meetings with the leaders on the team, and he did one for the offense and one for the defense. And specifically the defense, he had Grady Jarrett, Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, Fuelukum, Deion Jones. Like, he met with all of them and said, look, I need more from y'all. I need more. I need y'all to go out, and I need y'all to lead, and I need y'all to lead by example, and I need you to do this, this, and this, and here's what you're not doing. And he kind of, I mean, I don't know if he laid down the law, but he told them that, like, what's been happening is not going to cut it now. And it is kind of like turning up the intensity a little bit. And I think that you have heard Ricardo Allen, he was talking about it. He's like, yeah, he kind of laid down the law. And then Dante Fowler saying today, you know, he kind of wants, he's trying to get us mad at him. He's making us uncomfortable so that we can go out and play better, so that we can play with more intensity. So, yeah, I know when you talk about accountability, like, I think personally, I think that's what you want to hear. You want to hear that the coach is really getting after these guys, because the way that they have been playing is unacceptable.
Yeah, and that is Raheem Morris's rep, is that he's going to be more of a tough-minded guy. Torrey McElhaney is joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. She covers all things for the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic as we get ready for Vikings and Falcons coming up Sunday afternoon. All the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, obviously, if things go well, then it'll just continue to roll along. But I'm curious because there was something that stuck out to me about Raheem Morris's comment the other day about how, you know, I've got a guaranteed 11 games, you know, to kind of put my stamp and things like that. And I guess what kind of struck me is, so am I to assume that if this team goes 0-6 in their next six games, that there would be no other coaching changes, that OC, DC, interim coach? Because I do think that how do I say this? That there's still going to be a whitewashing when all is said and done. When this season ends, I don't think you're going to see a lot of familiar faces, you know, on this staff, you know, come next year. But do you think that no matter what happens, Raheem Morris coaches these 11 games, no matter, I mean, the good, I understand, but no matter how bad it continues to get?
I think it's a really good question, and one that we haven't really seen a situation where, like what you said, let's say the Falcons don't win to the bye week. Let's say they don't win the next six games. Let's say they don't win the next eight games. Like, do you see changes being made? I mean, as of right now, I don't know the answer to that, because just from talking to Arthur Blank and then talking to Rich McKay, I mean, they were saying the same things too. It's like Raheem has 11 games. Like, this is a situation. Normally you have an interim come in and he has three or four games.
Right.
So you have Raheem Morris who has 11. So it is kind of a little bit of an uncharted territory. And I don't know, to be completely honest. And I think it's okay to say, I don't know what would happen if the Falcons didn't win another game for the next 6 weeks. Like, I don't know if we've ever had a situation like that. So for me to sit here and say, like, oh yeah, if they don't win at some point in the next 6 weeks, or however long we want to say the hypothetical, like, I don't know for me to be able to say, like, yeah, no, there would absolutely be coaching changes. I'm not ready to say that, because there's a lot of stuff that I think, like, this is a big chunk of games. So to be completely honest, I don't know.
Well, I know there's a lot of fans who don't necessarily want to see wins, but I'm not a big fan of losing football games, good, bad, or otherwise. So follow her on Twitter. She's going to have all your Falcons information for you, covering all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Tori McElhaney on Twitter, @Tori_McElhaney. And join us here on the WaitFor.com hotline for our weekly chat. Tori, as always, appreciate it. Be safe, be well, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Sounds great. Talk then.
You got it. Coming up next, we get back from the top of the hour. It will be time for our NFL squib kick. Get to all your news in the NFL. This is the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you here on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.